Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's a powerful verse this morning. I'm thinking as we worship like we worship today and just been taking it all in, a time to be still and know that He is God. Have you ever been to a Quaker service? I've had a chance to experience how the Quakers worship. I've done this a few times. We met in a barn, and the barn was probably built in the 1700s, all rock, and there was a lot of sunlight that came in there, and we went in there, and what you do, you go in silence. It was just silent. And nothing was planned. And as the Lord moved among the congregation, somebody would stand up and share scripture, and they'd sit down. And somebody would stand up and offer a prayer, and they'd sit down. Might go another 2 or 3 minutes with nothing, and then somebody would stand up and sing "Jesus Loves Me," and they would sit down. President Nixon was I don't know if he was a Quaker, but he had Quaker roots. His grandmother was a Quaker. He asked his grandmother why they use silent prayers. You know, people don't pray out loud. They come to the dinner table and there's just silence. So he was asking, you know, what's up with that? And his grandmother explained, and she says, "What thee must understand, Richard, is that the purpose of prayer is to listen to God, not to talk to God. The purpose of prayer is not to tell God what thee wants, but to find out from God what He wants from thee." This is why it's so important that we come into the presence of God and just soak Him in. Be still and know that He is God. But I'm thinking, if you're anything like me, it's kind of hard for you to be still very long, isn't it? You know, we squirm and we, as a child, I was terrible. I was thinking about this. When I was a kid, they taught us a song. We'd sing the song, "Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus." You know that song? I guess I had a youth minister along the way taught us the second verse of that song. And I think it was just for me. "Sit down and shut up if you love my Jesus." But, you know, as a child, this is hard. But I'm thinking as adults, I don't know if it gets any better to sit still. Because we get so caught up with life. We're so busy. And we got all these distractions, and we get stressed out about work and our finances and our marriage and our health. And we're all we got deadlines that we got to meet. And little Susie has to be someplace, and little Johnny has to be someplace. And they wanted that report yesterday, and you get so stressed out. I want to take you to a verse here in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Talks about the seed that fell on the various soils. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures. See, that seed doesn't have a chance because it just gets caught up in the busyness of life. The worries, the riches, the pleasures. Found another verse I want to share with you. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." I'm looking at that. That's a beautiful verse. That'd be a good memory verse, right? But that's not all the verse. The rest of the verse, this is what it says. "But you would have none of it." Well, that's pretty convicting. Where the Lord is telling us, "In repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. Come to be still and know that I am God." But you would have none of it. And that describes us as the people we are. We're just too busy, too caught up, that we can't hear from God. We're not listening to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 says, "There's a time for everything, a time to speak and a time to be silent." Let me take you to the story of Samuel, when Samuel was a boy, how God called him. This is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3. "The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord under Eli.
In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and he laid down. And then again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now you think about this. Eli was an old man, could barely see. Here's this little boy growing up in the temple, keeps waking him up. Me, that doesn't go well. I'd be upset, you know. But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, is what it says in verse 7. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called to Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" And Eli realized that it was the Lord that was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel, he went, he laid down in place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as he had the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Just a couple of quick observations I want to make about this story. I love this story. Fascinating story. Let me ask a couple of things here. When did God speak? When did he speak? And if you read the story, you look at the story, you find out it was nighttime and it was quiet. It said here, before the lamp went out, which means the wee hours of the morning. That's when Samuel was hearing the Lord call him. It also says when the word of the Lord was rare. And I thought that was interesting. Because I'm thinking we might live with this this misconception that in those days, it's like the Lord spoke to everybody, right? And what happened? You know, how come the Lord spoke to all these people back then and he doesn't speak to people now? Did something change? Or maybe, you know, it says then the word of the Lord was rare. People weren't hearing from the Lord. I would ask you, today, in our world today, is the word of the Lord rare? Would you consider the word of the Lord being rare today? And if so, why do you think that is? What's up with that? So when did God speak? At night, before the lamp went out, when it was rare to hear from the Lord? To whom did God speak? And this should be an easy one. Okay, this is a little softball question here. He spoke to Samuel. Duh, Samuel. But think about that a little bit more. He called Samuel by name. He didn't say, "Hey, you. Hey, boy." He didn't say, "Hey, boy." Samuel, he knew his name. He called him by name. He called him when he was a child. And I thought that was important because he wasn't so busy at this point. He wasn't preoccupied with life. And he called him while Samuel was serving the Lord. I thought all these things were interesting. But also notice who God did not call. God was not speaking to Eli. Eli, who was the priest. How come God wasn't talking to Eli? Well, if you read the story, you find out there was sin in Eli's life, and Eli couldn't hear from God. But Samuel, in his innocence, as a child, in the temple, while he's serving the Lord, he's able to hear that soft voice calling him, "Samuel, Samuel." Where was it when God spoke? Where was Samuel at? He was in the tabernacle. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Samuel was in the tabernacle next to the ark in the presence of God, and he wasn't even aware of it. He was oblivious to the fact that he was in the presence of God. Once again, verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He's just going through the motions. It's like he's in church because you're supposed to be in church. That's where he's been raised, in church. Hasn't got a clue who God is. Which makes me think somebody has failed him along the way. Where, you know, how come he doesn't know who God is? How come he didn't know this? He was right smack dab in the presence of the Lord. And then I'm thinking about us. What about us? How often are you aware of when you are in the presence of God? And then let me add to that, anybody in this room who's given your life to Jesus Christ and made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you are the temple of God.
You're constantly in the presence of God. Are we aware of that? Tomorrow, after you leave here, tomorrow when you go to work, are you aware that you are the temple of God? You are in the presence of God. Let me move on here. It says in verse 9, Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" How did Samuel respond to what was going on? Samuel went, he laid down the place, the Lord came to him, stood there, calling as he had the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Speak, for your servant is listening. His response should be our response. From that moment on, Samuel listened. He listened on a regular basis. And he came to know God for who God really was and what God was all about. And he became a prophet that everyone respected because everyone knew that God was speaking to Samuel and Samuel was listening. He became a great prophet. He became a judge. He became a kingmaker, a priest, a prayer warrior because he listened. And it's my message for us today. We need to take time to listen. God's trying to speak to us. I don't think his word is rare. I think his word is all around us. What's rare is for us to pick his word up and study it and read it and look at it and find out what is God trying to say to us. What's he saying? And so what Eli told Samuel, this is my message for us. What Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. I'm not telling you to lie down, but I'm telling you to go slow down. Slow down. Be still. Take some time. I think this is what Sundays are all about. Sundays are our time to put our work aside and come into the house of the Lord, come into the presence of the Lord, and listen to him speak to us. Instead of us telling him what we want, we come here and say, "Lord, what is it you want from me? Speak to me, Lord. I'm your servant, and I'm here to listen." So we need to slow down. Bill Hybels, he compares the average Christian to a race car. And basically saying that, you know, a race car, the RPMs, I don't know anything about racing, but the RPMs of a race car is like 10,000 RPMs, and, you know, the engine's all revved up and everything, and we're not made to be race cars. We're just regular cars, but we're acting like we're race cars. But our engines are supposed to be going more like 5,000 PMs instead of 10,000 RPMs. And he says, if you really want to hear from God, you got to get those RPMs down lower than that. You got to get down to an idle. Just let your engine idle so you can hear the still small voice of the Lord. We got to slow down. And let me give you a few ways how we can do this. First of all, the Bible talks about meditating. And I think our world has made meditating something that it was never intended to be. You know, I think, you know, you look at like New Age gurus and everything. Meditate means, you know, empty your mind of everything. And I'm telling you, meditate means to fill your mind with Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. This is what it means to meditate. Get your focus on the Lord and on the will of God. That's what it means. And let me give you a couple of verses here. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night." Blessed is the man whose focus is on the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night. Do you think about the Word of God day and night? In the morning when you rise up, at nighttime when you go to bed, and throughout the day, and in the middle of the night, is the Word of God on your mind? Joshua 1, chapter 8 says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful." A little health and wealth teaching there. But just the focus is on the law of God. Meditate on the law of God. Psalm 119, 27 says, "Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders." Psalm 119, 97, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Psalm 119, 148 says, "My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." I'm looking at this, the things that we need to be looking at. We look at his law, we look at the wonders that he's made, we look at his promises, we think about these things. Gordon MacDonald, he writes Ordering Your Private Life. He tells us the need to journal, where to take time, where we slow down, we take time to record God's involvement in our lives. We record what God is teaching us. we record the wonders he has revealed to us. We take time, we take time to notice, and we take time to write it down. And I think one of the biggest benefits of that is because it makes you take time. It forces you to slow down. It forces you to focus. What is God doing? So first thing, to truly hear from the Lord, I would tell you, slow down, meditate on the Word of God. Another thing I would tell you here is to wait upon the Lord. How good are you at waiting? How good are you at waiting, you know, when you go to Walmart or you go to JC's and you get in line and you're tapping your foot and thinking, come on, you know? We have a hard time waiting. We're not patient people for the most part, are we? We're lousy at this. But look at, once again, look at what the scriptures are saying. Psalm verse 5, chapter 5, verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Psalm 27, 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 37, verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait on him. How good are you at waiting upon the Lord? I think as God's people, we're not good at this. You know, we come up with our ideas, we implement our ideas, and then we blame it on God, you know? We give him all the credit for what we're doing, and God's saying, that wasn't my idea. I didn't tell you to do that. We need to wait upon the Lord. And the last thing, which is what this all is all about, listen to the Lord. Slow down and listen to the Lord. Jesus says in John chapter 14, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to speak to you. Do you feel like an orphan? God, where are you? If so, something's wrong, and I would tell you that's not God's fault. We're doing something wrong, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But he wants to come to us. John chapter 16, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, this is what he wants to do, is to guide you into all truth, to reveal to you truth, to reveal to you what the will of God is. But you have to listen. You have to take time, turn the radio off, turn the TV off, turn life off as much as you can, and take that time to hear from God, to listen to God. Why would you do this? I've got a verse that for some reason it hit me this week in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I got to think, this is how this convicted me. It hit me. I got a couple pictures. I got one picture. Show them the first picture I got right there. You see the mountains, you know, and they're pretty and everything. But just imagine this was your life. You're moving along in life, and every few steps or every few days, this is what you're up against. Now, if this is a once in a lifetime adventure to climb Mount Everest, okay, that's kind of cool. But if this is every day, that gets old. You know, I don't want to climb that mountain again. I don't want to go back in that valley again. And it's up and it's down and it's up and it's down. And it's exhausting. It's tiresome. And it's dangerous. And it's who wants that? But then I got another picture. A little sailboat. Just smooth sailing. Now, this is relaxing. It's awesome. It's great. Look at this verse again, Proverbs 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It will be smooth sailing. If you would take time to listen to God and do it his way instead of trying to do it your own way, and then you yell at God like, Lord, I give up. I don't want to do this anymore. You're not listening to him. We need to take time to listen. We need to hear from the Lord. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus says, he that has ears, let him hear. Do you think the Lord is calling you? Do you think the Lord is speaking to you like he was with Samuel? I would tell you, yes, he is. I think he does it every day, all the time. And if you can't hear him, we got to figure out why not. So turn to the back page real quick, and let me ask a couple questions. Can't hear God? Here's a symptom. Can't hear God. Why not? Not listening? That seems to be an obvious choice, not listening. You're just too busy with the worries of life. Obsessed with money or obsessed with other things, and you don't have time for God. So every day is a mountain that you got to climb, or a mountain you got to climb down from. Every day, because we're not listening. That's one possibility. Second possibility, and you tell me if there's more truth to this. Okay, you're just not planning on obeying. He's talking. You know he's talking. But you don't want to hear what he has to say to you because you don't want to obey it. It scares you. Like Annie Dillard, she says, if you know much about the Bible, what the Bible says about meeting God, coming into the presence of God, then the ushers would hand out crash helmets instead of bulletins. The ushers would help you put your seatbelt on as you come into church. Because this is what it means to meet God. This is what it means to come into the presence of God. It's dangerous. It's scary. And I think deep down inside, we know it. So turn the radio up. Turn the TV on. Get your calendars filled with all kinds of meaningless stuff. Let me give you a couple examples here. God spoke to Abraham. Remember this, when God spoke to Abraham? He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. I want you to take your son, and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham didn't want to hear that. Abraham didn't want to hear that. Jonah, put yourself in Jonah's shoes. Hey, Jonah, I want you to go over to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to hear that. I'll give you another example. The rich man, remember the rich man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, keep the Ten Commandments. Well, the rich man said, well, I've done all that. What else do I need to do? And Jesus says, one thing you lack. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor. Well, the rich man didn't want to hear that. Just didn't want to hear that. Maybe there's a reason we can't sit still in the presence of God. Maybe there's a reason that we have a hard time listening to God. Maybe we don't want to hear what God has to say to us. Maybe that's the issue. So I'll give you two verses. I'll leave you with these two verses. Two destinies. And it's your decision. You decide. Option A. What Jesus says in Matthew 13, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. Which describes the typical Jew. It described the typical Israelite. I wonder if you could say it describes the typical Christian in our world today. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. Our option B, let's do what Samuel did. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. Your servant is listening. I want to hear what you have to say to me, Lord. I want to be obedient to you, Lord. I want to live my life for you, Lord. Does that describe you? Don't you want that to describe you? This is what I want. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to be in his presence. And if he tells me to do something that I don't want to do, I'm going to trust him because he will make my path straight. And my path will not be straight until I listen, until I obey. So let's be still. Be still. And know that he is God.